whether you have your digital Bible or your traditional Bible. I love the digital age we live in. There is one drawback. How many of you miss the sound of the ruffling of the pages? Somehow the electronic doesn't do that, you know. There's something about the sound of the rustling of pages. Whatever. So much for progress. But, okay, Exodus chapter 33. And as Randy mentioned, our theme this month is is valuing his presence. And so for those of you who are going through the LDP, we'll be watching that video tomorrow night. But hopefully this morning I will whet your appetite for more. Okay? So I'll be talking about this morning valuing his presence. And I believe this. People who value his presence carry his presence. And I believe that that's the kind of people we want to be. We want to be a people, even as evidenced by this morning, who value his presence. And if we value his presence, we'll become a people who carry his presence. So the question this morning is, how can we value more of his presence so we can become carriers of his presence? Now, have you ever met anybody who carries the presence of the Lord?
Yes.
Have you?
Kavanaugh.
Pam Kavanaugh. Okay, you don't have to name names, but give me some. What is it about them that allows you to see something of the presence of the Lord upon them?
Peace.
Peace. Good.
Joy.
Grace. Love.
Kindness.
Humility. Sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. Encouragement, yes.
Enthusiasm.
Good. Okay. Well, I've met people throughout my years who have expressed, demonstrated something of the presence of the Lord on their life, but there's two people, more than anybody else, that just really blew me away. And you probably have heard at least one of them. One is Mother Teresa, and the other is a man named Richard Wurmbrand. Mother Teresa, blessed memory, I don't know if you remember, she came to Baltimore at least once a number of years ago. She spoke at Notre Dame College, and I decided I wanted to go hear her. And, I respected Mother Teresa, but I wasn't like one of these, fans or whatever. But I wanted to hear her speak. So I went, and the auditorium was full. And there's a buzz in the air. Everybody's talking. Everybody's excited. And all of a sudden, like that, there was this hush. And I was sitting on the aisle on the end, like you. And I turned my head. And right as I turned my head, this little lady, humped over, wrinkled, walked by me. And as she walked by me, no kidding, just the presence of the Lord just fell on me. I mean, it fell on me so strongly that I began to tear up. It was just that sudden because this woman carried so much of the presence of the Lord. She just walked by me. Now, the other person is Richard Wurmbrand. How many of you have ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand? Good. Of blessed memory as well. I had the privilege of meeting Richard Wurmbrand and his wife, Sabrina. And when I first met him, we had invited him to Baltimore, and we had a meeting. And, if you haven't heard of him, by the way, he was imprisoned by the communists for over 13 years, solitary confinement for 3 years, and tortured brutally for his faith. In fact, pardon me? Yeah, he's a Romanian pastor. He's also Jewish, and he was he wrote his most famous book is "Tortured for Christ." He wrote many books. If you never read any of his books, read his books. They released the presence. But in his time of being imprisonment, this is one thing he said. He said, "We didn't see that we." He wrote this. "We didn't see that we were in prison. We were surrounded by angels. We were with God. We no longer believed about God and Christ and angels because Bible verses said it. We didn't remember Bible verses anymore. We remembered because we remembered about God because we experienced it." And I experienced it when I met him first time. He spoke, and then after he was done speaking, I went up to him to introduce myself to him, and he was standing here, and as I went up to him and put up my hand, I kind of just froze, and I began again to weep. And it took me by surprise. I didn't expect it coming. But again, why? Because he so manifested, carried the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I you know, you meet people like that, and you go, God, I don't know if I could ever be like that, but just a little bit of your presence, wow. I mean, just to be able to be a person that carries the presence of the Lord. Why did these two people carry the presence of the Lord? Because they valued the presence of the Lord. So the question this morning is, how can we more value his presence so that we could become more carriers of his presence? If your Bible is open to Exodus 33, then we see a picture of another person who valued the presence of God. What's his name? Moses, Moshe. Now, before we read a little bit of background to this passage, you remember Moses is on the mountain. What was the mountain called? Mount Horeb or Sinai. And what was he doing up there? He was in the presence, and what was he getting from God? The Ten Commandments, the Torah. And when he came down, what did he observe? What was going on? That's right, idolatry. The people of Israel, they got, where's Moses? He's not showing up. So they decided to have a big party. They built this, they took their jewelry and made this kind of gold thing called a golden calf, and they had a big party, and they did some things that were a little bit out of the, you know, they shouldn't have been doing. And Moses came down, and he wasn't real happy about it. And he broke the Ten Commandments, right? Very good. What's that? He broke all ten at one time. That's right. And so as a result, God said to Moses, he wanted to wipe out the people of Israel, right? And Moses interceded and said, please don't do that. Okay, so God said, okay, I won't. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel to go before you, but I'm not going to go with you, because if I do go with you, my wrath will consume the people of Israel. So what did Moses say in response? I love it. He said, verse 15, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people? If you don't go with us, is it not your presence that makes us distinct, I and your people, from all the other people on the earth? Well, he said, it's not good. Angels are good, but angels aren't good enough. God, I want your presence. Why did he want his presence? Because it's the presence of God that does what? It sets Israel and the people of God apart from all the other people, makes them distinct from all the other people on the earth. Now, how many of you like being distinctive? Yeah, we all, if we're honest, come on, we all want to be distinct in some way. And that's why some people drive certain cars, you know. Some people drive Corvettes, you know, that gives them a certain distinctiveness. Some people drive Jeeps, that gives them a distinctiveness they like. Some people drive VW Bugs, come on. That was my car of choice back in the 70s, excuse me. And actually, this was my real car of choice. You know, the one with tattoos. You know, when I was in high school, if you wanted to be distinct from the other guys, you had to wear loafers, but they couldn't be any kind of loafer. They had to be certain kind of loafers. They had to be Weejuns, Bass Weejuns. Anybody ever heard of Bass Weejuns? Okay, right. You had to wear those or forget it. You weren't distinct. You weren't cool. Or what are those other shoes? If you wore tennis shoes, they couldn't be any tennis shoes. They had to be Jack Purcells. Does anybody remember Jack Purcells? Okay, we got a winner back there. Second in line, the Jack Purcells were Hummers. Yeah, come on. See, maybe this is just a Pikesville thing. I'm not sure. Then a couple years later, if you wanted to be distinctive, you had to look something like this. How many of you ever looked like that? Come on, confess it up. There we go. True confessions here. Okay, and now, if you want to be distinctive, you have to look something like this. And it's like beat that tattoo. You know, it's like, how can you get another tattoo that beats the other one? You know, I have to confess, I'm really tempted to get a tattoo right here. You know, kind of like a toupee tattoo, you know. And in fact, good old friend of mine, where is he? Robin. I haven't seen Robin in 30 years. Robin used to cut my hair when I had hair. It's hard to remember. 30 years ago. Come on, Robin. That's when I used to, like, my hair actually used to fall on my eyes, and I had to go like that. Yeah, right. So I figured a nice tattoo might just make the difference there. You know, in fact, if I really want to be distinct, I might even add, you know, one of these. What do you think about that nose ring? Not yet, maybe? Okay, we'll see. It really depends how distinct I want to be. We'll see. Stay tuned. Okay, so, you know, it's okay to want to be distinct. It's okay. Moses wanted to be distinct. But his point of distinctiveness was not something that he valued, but someone. Amen? What did he value? The presence. Everybody say the presence of the Lord. Okay. So, how do we value his presence? How do we value his presence? Worship. It's good.
Prayer.
It's, come on. It's good. Kissing him. Come on. Good job, Nick. Well, I believe the scriptures give us three ways, at least three, to value the presence of the Lord. First, here's what the three are. If you're taking notes, I believe scripture teaches us to value his universal presence, which is his, what I call his mediated presence. Scripture teaches us to value his unique presence, which is his immediate or unmediated presence. And scripture teaches us to value his unusual presence, which some call his manifest presence. So let's look at these. His universal presence, valuing his universal presence, which is valuing his presence in creation. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Everything in creation speaks and points to the Creator and his presence in the world. Psalm 8, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Now, how many of you remember when you were younger? Did any of you ever do this? You were just, when you were a kid, you would like lie down on the grass and just stare at the stars and count the constellations and try to name them. Remember doing that? How many of you still do that? Okay, not as many hands. Good for you, though, if you do. I have to admit, I don't. But I should. But one thing I did do with my wife, last summer, we went... Well, okay, we'll get there a second. Well, what's mentioned? How many of you heard of David Thoreau? Henry David Thoreau. He said this, nature is full of genius, full of divinity, so that not a snowflake escapes its fashioning hand. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but he understood something about nature and creation. It reveals the divine, the glory of God. My wife and I, we went here last summer for our 20th anniversary. And does anybody recognize that place? I mean, as beautiful as that picture is, can you imagine like being there? This is Lake Louise, the Canadian Rockies. If you've never, you got it? Come on. If you've never been in the Canadian Rockies, oh my God. Just all I can say is go. I mean, that picture brings me into the presence. Imagine seeing it. How do you say it? Person to mountain to mountain? Person to person? When we, even in driving up there, there's in the, this is Alberta, Canada, through the road that takes you all the way up through this park, all you see is this. We would get out. I remember getting out and we would just stand before one of these mountains. And just, again, the presence of God. Just, I mean, literally, I would start to cry. Just so overwhelming, the presence of God in creation. So if you're going to value the presence of God, his universal presence, what should you do? Get out in nature sometime. Go take a walk out. You don't have to go to the Canadian Rockies. If you can, go for it. But, you know, have you ever been to Patapsco State Park? It's not that bad. It really is. There's great trails there. Take a walk in the woods. Enjoy God's creation. You know, we're so urbanized and suburbanized that sometimes we just don't make time just to get out in God's gorgeous creation. So valuing his universal presence, his in creation. Secondly, valuing his unique presence. I believe Scripture teaches us that we are to value his unique presence, which is his immediate presence, his unmediated. You don't need mountains. It's his unmediated presence. Try to say that. Unmediated presence. Three ways. Some of you already said it this morning. In prayer, in worship, and one other way, which I want to mention. And what's that? In the Lord's Supper. Now, David says, David's a man who just loved, valued the unique, immediate presence of God. He said in Psalm 16:11, "You show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Isn't that great? I mean, wow. That kind of motivates you to want to get in God's presence. Yeah, what's a Steve Backlund said, if we never laugh in God's presence, maybe we're not in God's presence as much as we think we are. That challenged me. Psalm 84:10, "A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." Now, for David really liked going to the temple court. I mean, that's the place where he really experienced the presence of God. Now, I've been to Jerusalem. Maybe you've been there. And what's left of that is the wall, the Kotel. Well, when you go to, every time I go there, I experience the presence of God. But you know what the good news is? You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to the wall. There's no temple to go to anyhow. You can experience God's unique presence anywhere. Even in a chicken coop. Yes. This is when God first taught me about his presence, experiencing his presence anywhere. I was a new believer, and me and a few guys, we rented this house out in Cockeysville, and the back of the house on the property, there was a chicken coop. It was an old chicken coop. Been around a long time. You know, chicken coops have been around a long time. You know what they had a lot of? Chicken poop. Chicken coops have chicken poop. And it was like built up in the floorboard, like it was just, you know, like embedded. So I tried to do my best to clean this thing up, but you can only do so much. But this chicken coop became my pustinia, my dedicated place of prayer. I'm gonna tell you, it wasn't air conditioned either. And so on days like the last 2 days we had, how many know the chicken coop and the chicken poop? It combines together. It's just not good. But you know what? It didn't matter because God met me. His presence was so much in that chicken coop that it didn't matter. I mean, I look back on those days. I lived there for about a year or two years, I think it was. And God just showed me and revealed to me that I can experience his presence anywhere and any place. Even a chicken coop. Now, I did go visit my parents once who were living in Florida, and there was no chicken coop there. But Jesus did say something about going into your closet. Yeah. See, something about having a dedicated place of prayer. Court, temple courts, chicken coop, closet, doesn't matter. But the only thing is, I didn't tell my mother that I was going to go into her closet, her walk-in closet, for my prayer time. So when she opened the door and there I was, she almost had a heart attack. Thank God she didn't. Here's my point. If we want to value the unique, immediate presence of the Lord in prayer, my suggestion is, if you haven't already, is find a dedicated place somewhere, you know, chicken coop, whatever, closet, favorite chair, wherever, some place where you can just meet with God. That's hopefully a non-distraction zone. Something about that. Something about a place. A day in your courts, a day in your chicken coop is better than 1,000. That's true. It's true. Okay, so valuing God's presence, his unique presence in prayer. Somebody said, I think Ronnie, you said worship. Was it you?
No.
You said prayer. Somebody said worship. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come into his, everybody say together, presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Psalm 100, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, if you've been coming to New Heritage for any period of time, you've probably realized that we value the presence of the Lord, which is one reason why we give so much time for worship. Because it takes time to go from the outer court to the inner court with the goal of getting where? To the Holy of Holies. It's hard to do that, at least for most of us, myself included, to do that in two or three songs. It takes some time. So I think good worship is like a good workout. You know, if you have a good workout, you got to do upper body, lower body, and cardiovascular, right? You got to do all three. I think good worship's kind of like the same thing. You need to do all three. Outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. So here's my encouragement to us all. Let's try to have a good worship. Like we want good workout, let's have good worship. And we do have good worship. But my encouragement is take advantage of all three aspects of worship, outer court, inner court, and Holy of Holies, because that's what God has for us, which is the ultimate goal, his presence. Finally, in terms of valuing the unique presence of the Lord, as I mentioned, is the Lord's Supper. Paul says this, if you ever thought about this, it's pretty wild what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we give thanks for, is it not a communion? Your translation might say participation, sharing. In the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we are many, or one body, for we all share of the one bread. Now, Paul, I believe, is saying that this bread and this cup, they're symbols of his sacrifice. But they're more than that. I believe he's saying that they're also vehicles of his presence. Something happens there in communion that releases what Catholics call the real presence. You know, sometimes I think Catholics have something on us, you know, when it comes to all this thing. I mean, they understand that something really happens in communion, that there's this real presence. I don't necessarily agree with all the theology they have about it, but what I do agree with is that God wants us to experience his real presence when we share the Lord's Supper. So here's my encouragement to us, that valuing the unique, unmediated presence of God, part of that is really valuing when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I want to encourage you to release your faith when we do that. You're going to experience his real, immediate presence. All right, how are we doing here? Huh? So, how do we value his presence? Valuing his universal presence, his unique presence, and finally his unusual presence. Woo, what does that mean? His unusual presence. Probably one of the most classic passages in Scripture that shows this is 1 Kings 8, 10 to 11. This was Solomon dedicating the temple. Remember what? Do you know when he dedicated the temple, what feast it was?
Passover.
Close. Tabernacles, which is coming up. Feast of Tabernacles. When the priests came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. Wow. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. You know, the Hebrew word for glorious presence is... Okay, we're going to be a congregation now. You might as well pronounce it right, right? Okay, Shekhinah, Shekhinah. Everybody say Shekhinah. Okay, the Shekhinah, which is the unusual, glorious presence, manifest presence of the Lord. You know, whereas the unique presence, the immediate presence, is kind of individual. You know, you may experience His presence, but the guy next to you may not. His manifest presence is when you experience His presence, and so does the person in the back row. I remember when I first experienced this, it was, I don't know if any of you guys were around back in the early days of the Charismatic Renewal, but they used to have these big conferences at Notre Dame University, like 35,000 people, literally, each year. I remember the first time I went, it was Friday night, and they were calling for torrential thunderstorms. I mean, the sky was black, no exaggeration. So the person leading the evening, he said, "Let's take authority over the storm." And so he commanded, and we all commanded the storm to leave. And I remember sitting, I'm a new believer, and I'm watching this, and within 10 minutes, the clouds departed, crystal blue sky, brilliant sunshine. Well, you know what? The unusual manifest presence of the Lord fell on the whole stadium. It was awesome. You know, this morning, there was a little period where we all sang in the Spirit. Did y'all notice that? I love that. I remember when I first experienced that. Again, it was at one of these big conferences, thousands and thousands of people. And it was this, it just started real soft, and then it just crescendoed, and then it just gradually, and the timing was, only God could have orchestrated, it was just so perfect, so harmonious, so heavenly. And after that happened, do you know what happened? The presence of God fell. I mean, everybody knew it. I know Bob remembers this story. This is when we used to meet at Hollowfield Elementary School. And we had a friend of ours named John Pulsey. He's a musician. And we just kind of, he's just a gifted musician. And we just gave him the service, and he just took us in. Well, at some point, I can't even remember when or how it happened, but at some point, the unusual Shekhinah of the Lord fell on the room. And it wasn't just my experience, it wasn't just Bob's, it was everybody's experience. It was amazing. It was an incredible, I talked to John Paul, it was years ago. John Paul, he still calls me, we still talk about that day. It was such an unusual, incredible day. Another time, this is years back, this is during the Operation Rescue. Was anybody involved in Operation Rescue? Sitting in front of abortion clinics so that people hopefully wouldn't go in and get abortions. Well, one day I was doing that, and I got arrested with some other people, and they put us in jail. And initially they put us in individual cells, but then they decided for whatever reason to let us all gather in one holding cell. So now it's about, 2-3 in the morning, and we're just praying and singing. And all of a sudden, the Shekhinah showed up. That experience, probably even more than the ones I just described, was the most unbelievable experience to date I've ever had. I can't even explain it. It was so transcendental. We were transported to another realm. And it just went on and on and on. And I remember talking to people after we were released, and everybody I talked to had the same exact experience. It wasn't just my own personal subjective experience. It was the glory, the presence of the Lord. So how do we value more of that? Does anybody want that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do we get it? I don't really know. Except ask for it. Pray for it. I mean, it's these kind of things that I believe is what sparked revival. You remember one more? You want to tell us?
Yeah. I was on a men's retreat. It was a weekend retreat, and Fred was actually, there were several talks planned for that weekend. Fred had the opening talk on Friday night, and we were at a Catholic retreat center, Manresa, right, in Annapolis. And the presence of God just fell during his talk. I don't even remember what the talk was. I don't remember if you finished it even, but 100 or so guys were there, and every one of us was on our faces. And it was such a powerful experience. Everybody experienced it. The leadership on that weekend decided they were going to throw away the talks that they had planned, and we went a whole different place because of that one thing where God showed up and we experienced the Shekinah glory. It was amazing. That's another one.
That was an amazing time too. So more Lord.
More.
You know, we're all connected. We're connected as New Heritage to the Global Awakening Network. They have these amazing conferences. A couple are coming up, George and Benoff, and next one with Randy Clark. Hey, go. God shows up. So how do we know if we value his presence? How do you know if you value his presence? Okay, somebody said spend time. Maybe another way of saying it is if we value, to the degree that we value his presence, we will seek his presence. I love this verse. Psalm 105:3 says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Your Bible might say, seek his face. But seek his face means seeking his presence. The Hebrew word is punim. You know, if you have a shena punim, how many of you have a shena punim? You all do. It means you have a pretty face. Or a shiny face, yes. So we are to seek his punim, seek his face, seek his beautiful face, which is his presence. But some of you might say, well, why do we need to seek his presence? Aren't we always in his presence? I mean, didn't Jesus say, I am with you always until the end of the world? Well, yes, he's always with us. But the problem is, we're not always with him. Yeah? I mean, yeah, we can get so distracted by things, so preoccupied with other things, whether it's, email, Twitter, TV, Mickey D, shopping sprees, you know, doing whatever we please, I don't know, you know, because we're such busy little bees. Yeah, I know, come on, here we go. I know, keep your day job, okay. That's why Paul says in Colossians 3:1, verse 1 and 2, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. You know, sometimes we get so fixated on earthly things that we forget what heaven tastes like. You know, sometimes it's not because we're preoccupied with earthly things. Sometimes we just dry up. I mean, you get sometimes, and I'm sure this is some of your experience, certainly it's mine, sometimes your faithful prayer and reading the Bible, but you just feel dried up. Feel spiritually dry. Like a desert. Oh, God. Well, take some heart here. How many of you we've heard already of Mother Teresa. Now, you may remember the news after she passed away. They found some of her letters, and they published them. Listen to what she said in one of her letters. I am told that God lives in me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. I want God with all the power of my soul, and yet between us there is a terrible separation. Here is this amazing woman who would get up 5 o'clock in the morning every day in prayer and Eucharist and whatever and do what she did. And for years and years and years, she didn't experience the presence of God. Why? Well, here's my theory. For her or for you, if that's your experience. God takes your full cup and he pours it into a barrel. And he says, fill it up. Why does he say that? Why does he do that? Because there's always more of God. How many of you know you would stay where you are if your cup was always full, wouldn't you? So what does God do? Because he wants you to have more of him. He empties your full cup and he puts it in a bigger cup, a gallon jug, or maybe one of those, you know, things we take down to Lexington Market. I don't know. And he says, okay, fill it up because I have so much more for you. So the fact is we get spiritually dry. It's why David said, oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you like a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 42:1, as a deer longs for running streams, so longs my soul for you, my God. But here's the good news as we conclude this morning. If we seek the presence of God, we will find. If we value the presence of God, we will find the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. When he's found, there is what? There is great, everybody say, reward. Hebrews 11:6, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The greatest reward is his presence. If we seek his presence, then, meaning if we value his presence, then we become what? Carriers of his presence. Remember when Moses came down the mountain? What did he remember? He looked funny. That's right. He had a shame upon him. His face was shiny. Here's what it says. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he didn't realize that his face glowed from being in the presence of God. Well, here's the good news. What's true for Moses can also be true for you and for me. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his likeness. Some verses say from one degree of glory to another, or with ever-increasing brightness, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Good news. Please stand. As we close this morning, I want you to make a few declarations, okay? Now, why do we make declarations? Because you got it, thank you, brother. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you declare God's word, what happens? Faith comes, and you start believing it. And when you start believing it, things happen. So let's try this one, the first one. Let's say together, I have been chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and spotless, and to live in his presence through love. Ephesians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 3:18, let's say, with an unveiled face, I behold the glory of the Lord. God is changing me into his likeness with ever-increasing brightness. And finally, Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask for, that will I seek, to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, beholding the beauty of the Lord. So Father, we just thank you this morning for your beautiful presence, Lord. And even this morning we have experienced your presence so that we might hunger for more of your presence, so that we might value your presence and seek after your presence continually all the days of our life. So Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would so move us to seek your presence in creation, to seek your presence in prayer, to seek your presence in worship, to seek your presence when we share the Lord's Supper, and to seek your glorious manifest presence. Because when you show up, Lord, our lives change. And when our lives change, we become carriers of your presence. So God, this is our cry this morning, our heart's desire. that we would so value your presence, we would so seek your presence, that we too, even like Moses, would become carriers of your presence. And Lord, this morning, if there's anything going on in our lives that would cause us to think that's not for us, any guilt or unworthiness, any confessions that we've agreed with, negative confessions that aren't true. Even David, who did things that probably none in this room ever did, was a man whose heart was perfect towards you. Why was his heart perfect towards you? Because even though he screwed up, he still sought you. He was a seeker after God. He valued your presence. He never gave up. He valued your presence above everything else. So, Holy Spirit, impart to us more and more a desire for your presence. But set us free from the things that compete with your presence. Lord, what I'd say this morning for breakthrough, for those things, even as I pray, the Holy Spirit will bring something to your mind. That thing that's just keeping you, that's got a stronghold on you, that's keeping you from seeking his presence more in your life. And as the Holy Spirit brings that to mind, I just break it in Jesus' name. I break the power of it over you in Jesus' name. So, Abba, we just receive your precious presence this morning. And what I pray that when we come back next week, that all of our faces will be a little bit shinier because we have spent time in your presence. So as we close this morning, I just want to pray this prayer over you. It's not my prayer. It's from the book of Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Worship intercession. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.
eyes, sing Breakdown Love. Open the eyes, ready?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you.
This morning, and you still need some prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you before you leave. If you just want to stay a while, you're welcome to do that too, right? So, Father, I just ask you for my brothers and sisters that you would bless them and keep them. God, make your face to shine upon them this week. Lift up your countenance upon them. Grant them your shalom, your peace, oh God, we pray. Lord, I thank you for each and every one, Lord, those who were here this morning and those who couldn't be here today. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we go from this place today, I pray you'd go before us and prepare the way. Lord, lead us in your pathways, I ask. Order our steps, direct our pathways. Father, grant us opportunities and the courage to engage those opportunities to share your presence, to share your love, your life with those around us, our neighbors, family members, co-workers, fellow students, those who perhaps don't yet know about the love and grace of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you in advance for what you'll be doing this week in and through our lives. We do it all for your glory, Father. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.